Let the music begin in 3, 2, 1.
Learning music, having fun.
That's what we're gonna do.
Mr. Henry,
Mr. Fife,
exploring along with you.
Learning music, having fun.
That's what we're gonna do. Mr. Henry,
Mr. Fife,
love hanging out with you.
The Music Podcast for Kids.
Hello, and welcome to The Music Podcast for Kids. We're your hosts, Mr. Henry
and Mr. Fife,
music educators extraordinaire. The Music Podcast for Kids is a fun and educational podcast where we learn and explore the best subject ever.
Music!
And now the music joke of the day.
We love jokes. So if you have a joke, please visit our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com, to submit your joke.
And guess what? It doesn't even have to be a music joke. It can be any joke.
We will read and enjoy your joke on the podcast and also let everyone know who it came from and where you are in this great, big, wonderful music world.
Our joke of the day is, so, Mr. Fite, how do you make popcorn dance?
Oh, how do you make popcorn dance? I don't know. How do you make popcorn dance?
With a kettle drum.
Yeah, you really hit that one on the head. Make sure to send in your jokes by visiting our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com. A link to the website can be found in the show notes.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you are enjoying the show so far.
Please subscribe to the podcast to receive the latest episodes and leave a review through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, get updates on what we are up to through Facebook and Instagram by finding us at Music Podcast for Kids. Links will be found in the show notes.
On to the show!
Just chat. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting. Just chatting, just chatting.
Hey there, Music Podcast for Kids listeners. On this episode, we have a very special interview with the songwriting team of Marjorie Duffield, Christopher Curtis, and Helen Park. They wrote the songs for the Netflix Pearl Studio animated feature, Over the Moon. Marjorie Duffield is a lyricist, playwright, and screenwriter. She has written songs for the upcoming Netflix Pearl Studio animated feature, Over the Moon, an animated feature-length musical written by Audrey Wells and directed by Oscar-winning animation legend Glenn Keane. Marjorie has worked extensively as a theater educator at the Calhoun School, where she received the Uri Thompson Award for Excellence in Teaching in 2009, and in the Arts and Education programs at the Metropolitan Opera Guild. She is a graduate of Williams College and NYU's Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program, where she was a Jacob Javits Fellow. Marjorie has written for film, TV, and the stage. Composer-lyricist Christopher Curtis has written songs for the upcoming Netflix Pearl Studio animated feature, Over the Moon. His musical Chaplin played on Broadway and was nominated for 8 Outer Critics Circle Awards, including Best Musical and Best Score. Curtis has also scored for television, including programs on Discovery Channel, TLC, and NBC. Curtis holds the distinction of being selected for the Walt Disney Animation Songwriter Development Program and the Pearl Studio Artists in Residence Program in Shanghai. He studied music at the New England Conservatory and the Juilliard School and currently resides in New York City. Helen Park is a 3-time Drama Desk nominee and recipient of the Lucille Lortel Award for Best Musical and the Richard Rodgers Award. Park's recent work includes K-Pop, her off-Broadway musical debut for which she wrote music and lyrics. The show received a sold-out extended run at Ars Nova and was the most nominated off-Broadway show of the 2017-2018 season. As a performer, Park has engaged in various cabaret venues in New York City, including a sold-out solo concert at 54 Below. Park is an alumnus of NYU's Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program and the BMI Lehman Engel Advanced Musical Theater Workshop, and is a proud member of the Dramatists Guild. We hope you enjoy this insightful interview.
We have very special guests with us today on the Music Podcast for Kids, the songwriting team from the new Netflix animated feature Over the Moon, Christopher Curtis, Helen Park, and Marjorie Duffield. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So since we are a music podcast for kids, we always like to ask our special guest how they got started with music. Did you play music as a kid, maybe in school, take private lessons? Helen, why don't we start with you?
Okay. So I started playing classical piano since I was five, like a lot of other Korean kids. I was born in Korea, okay, and I lived there until I was in elementary school. And I kept playing piano all throughout elementary school and until middle school. And that's when I started, in middle school, I started wanting to write my own melodies and my own songs. And so that's when I started playing with songwriting, and I got hooked on musical theater as well in seventh grade, I think. And so, yeah, ever since then, I not only listened to classical music, but jazz. I got hooked on to K-pop and pop music. And so I like to mix things up. You know, I like to mix different genres and create music. And yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Christopher, how about you? What was your story?
I actually started playing the piano probably when I was like 13, late. My dad had a mild heart attack when I was a teenager, and as he was recuperating, he was taking piano lessons. And I was like, well, I want to take them too. You know what I mean? Because I think I'm better than him. So, and then, you know, so I started taking piano, and I really just took to it. And I would, I was very much into John Williams as a kid. Like, I'd go to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and, you know, come home and play it on the piano.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, I loved, you know, Elton John and Bruce Springsteen. So I loved film scoring and pop rock. And then musical theater became a passion. But yeah, I started playing the piano probably as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I played the piano for all the schools in high school for the Broadway shows that our school did. So that's kind of how I started. And I went to New England Conservatory and did classical as a teenager. So that was my kind of beginning. So
awesome. Yeah, that's great. And Marjorie, you're a lyricist, playwright, screenwriter. Was music a part of your life growing up?
Yeah. Well, I am the youngest of four with two musician older brothers and a very hip older sister. So the records were playing. My brother's band was happening at the house in the yard. Like, you know, neighbors were calling. So music was happening at my house. It is true. Music was happening, but also I grew up on the desert. So for me as a words person, actually, the sound of the air, if I may say, actually, the absence, sometimes I was really exposed to the natural sounds. And one of the delights I've had of working with Chris and Helen is weirdly, I think, not having, I see words in sound. And I really think that to some degree, that had to do with being in a place where that had a lot of natural sound. I did try piano for a time. She started me on Bella Bartok. I was like, this is crazy.
I can't
do it. But I think it organized my mind because I'm a very abstract thinker too. But so it was really words. And then I will just say to that point, I did start as a playwright, and then I wrote a few songs for a Body Politics cabaret, and we were rehearsing, and I was like, wow, you know, having people say your words is great, but having people sing your words, now that's amazing. So, and I went to the Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program at NYU Tisch, where Helen went many years later. So we have that in common, which was a great training ground for me personally.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's awesome.
So, so how did the three of you end up becoming the songwriting team for this new Netflix animated feature? Christopher, maybe you could get us rolling.
Well, Margie and I went to do the songwriter in residence program in Shanghai for Pearl Studios. And you would go over and you would kind of like explore writing for animation. And I had done that with Disney Animation before, the Disney songwriting program. So that was kind of fun. And then while we were there, they had this script by Audrey Wells, this amazing script, Over the Moon. And we like read the synopsis. We were like, oh, we want to write a couple of song ideas for that. And you weren't being hired for it. It was just like you kind of just, it was like animation songwriting and training kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And then it started to take off and started to really, you know, happen. And then they met with Helen, and then the three of us came together, and they had this like bit of a dilemma. They loved Helen's style and they loved me and Margie's style. And they were like, how do we combine the two? You know, they're both unique and we love them. And they were like, will you guys work together? Would you guys think about like writing songs together? And then we met at Pan and Chow, the producer's house, and we all kind of hit it off. And it just kind of went from there. You know, we just kind of brought different voices to it. But it wasn't like a territorial thing. We just kind of met and felt like, huh, we can learn from each other, expand each other's horizons. So let's go for it. And that's how it started.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, really cool. So it seems like every songwriter has their own individual process for songwriting. For example, like the music first, then lyrics, or vice versa. Marjorie, could you describe the process of writing songs as a team, and how does that compare with what you do when you are writing a song on your own?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I love about writing with Chris and Helen is we all have a really strong, similar understanding of the moment where a character has to sing. And then what is that? What do you do with it? Where do you go with it? And so because we have this similar dramatic understanding, most of the music was music first. After sort of all of us having an equal understanding of what is happening here, what's going on. And sometimes some words would come in and they would spur something and then something would come back. You know, it was fairly organic, although the music was pretty much leading. But so much of that was after we knew what the heart of the story was. And I mean, I would say that that is a newer, I used to be, you know, book and lyrics first. And now I'm just rolling with the music first situation. Yeah. And feel really lucky that so much good is coming from it because of this kind of common understanding of dramatic moment and love of character, frankly. I mean, we love these characters. Yeah. And we all could hear them in the ways that we hear them speak. And so that was very fortunate.
Yeah. Cool.
That's great. And speaking of the speaking part, in the beginning of the film, there's this really cool, the dialogue and the singing, bantering back and forth, telling the story. So I'm curious, like, I'm assuming that you're told what parts of the story need a song to go here or there. So what information are you given as a starting point when you're asked to write a particular song?
Helen.
About Helen. Maybe we can start with Helen this time. Sorry.
Well, I mean, it's really... I mean, we were really lucky that we got the script. We read through the script first. And so we already spotted the song moments. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just like given to us. Those moments were actually determined with discussion between songwriters and the director and producer. Like we all, and the screenwriter. And yeah, those moments of discussion were like, I mean, it's such precious memories now. But yeah, we discussed those song moments and then, you know, and we had a very good knowledge of the characters because it was all in the words in the script. And so, yeah, we kind of like digested, you know, who the character is and we all kind of were on the same page about what this character wants to communicate in that moment. And we used a lot of the words, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Margie, because she was the leader of the words. But yeah, I think we took a lot of the you know, the way that people, that the characters speak in the mm-hmm. in the script, mm-hmm. and we tried to communicate that through music. We tried to translate that through music. So yeah, we were given a lot of information. And mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's why we could really easily kind of be on the same page.
Yeah. Cool.
And if I can just add to that, just, sure. You know, Audrey's script was, there are words, you know, there was so much. Audrey's first, that draft dated Christopher's birthday in December. It just, there was a coincidence, but we're like, it's a sign. you know, there's so many, it was such a beautiful guide with such depth and detail of character, and Audrey herself just had such a vision on eloquence and kind of profound understanding of what she meant by what she said. And so, frankly, where I'm not dumb, I'm like, wow, that's a great line. Let's take that, you know? And I remember Glenn saying, oh, but that line, and Audrey was with us at that first screening. And I said, you know, that's Audrey's line. Love someone new. That's the title of the final song. That's her. Those are her words. I was just smart enough to lift them from her script.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wow. Yeah. And it is a really such a heartwarming story. We got to preview it and watched it with our kids. And, you know, I watched it with my kids. Bruce watched it with his kids. And yeah, it was just, it's such a great story. And there's such a nice variety of musical styles in the songs you wrote for this film. The musical theater in Mooncakes, or the hip hop music, you know, in the Ultra Luminary, Rocket to the Moon and Hey Boy, to even just like the happy ukulele whimsical feeling of the song Wonderful. So how did you decide on what particular genre a song would be for a specific part? Maybe Chris, you could start with that.
I think some of it was self-evident. I think Ultra Luminary was going to be like a Kate Perry kind of like dance pop song.
Yeah.
You know? And Helen took the lead on that because she's just got that in her blood. You know what I mean? So Rocket to the Moon just felt like this kind of great pop show song. Like it almost like a, something from the Alan Menken kind of, you know, songs. And then it was Glenn's idea to make Hey Boy a rap song, the ping pong. He said, wouldn't it be cool to have this ping pong game become a rap?
Yeah.
So that was something interesting to play with. So some of it was self-evident, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was in this, even the script dictated music, you know what I mean? Okay. The idea of the script, like Mooncakes kind of came out. It felt like an assembly, and like, you know, stuff, roll, press, black stuff. It felt like an assembly, you know, and it kind of, that, yeah, I think again, the script, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Margie and Helen, I think the script did inspire what kind of music it would be. So a lot of, even like words were inspired by Audrey's script, but music was too.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, it was a gift, really, yeah.
And if I may add, for Wonderful, we played around with like Gobi's character and him having like kind of like a funk kind of sound, and like, I mean, when he's actually like dancing and, you know, being playful, I think he definitely has that funk sound. Maybe in the stage adaptation, if we ever write, we'll have another funk. But for this Wonderful song, you know, we really felt like the playfulness and his humility, in, you know, this inevitable humility that he had would really be represented in a ukulele sound.
Yeah.
And so, when we played with the ukulele on that song, we were like, oh yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
That was a great sound. And I think we wanted Rocket to the Moon to represent her journey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Her journey to the moon, but also her journey of trying to keep her family together. Right. And I kind of, you know, represent what we felt like when it starts off in this moment of this almost prayer of grief. Mm-hmm. And then there's this voice of inspiration that breaks through that grief and says, fly away. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted this voice of intuition to break through that grief and then inspire her to build this rocket to come to the moon, you know, so that there's such a journey to that song. And it is. And it also, when you think about the times that we're living in, there's a lot of people in grief right now. And it's about breaking through that and following that intuitive voice within that grief to lead you to a better, more inspired place. And that's what we wanted to do in that song. And I think that's, for us, I think that's an inspiring moment, again, from Audrey's script. But that's kind of the journey of that moment in the script, but also what we did in the song.
Wow. Awesome. And the personalities of the songs fit so well with the personalities of the characters. It was just very seamless.
Yeah.
In the song Yours Forever, it was very interesting. I guess you're using Mandarin Chinese lyrics, from what I'm told, and the melody was very unique. How was the melody crafted, and was it related to the language of the lyrics?
Well, there was two. This is a true story. This is a
long story.
All right, so there was a whole other melody that.
Oh wow!
Can I play this, or am I allowed to? Can I play them all, the old one, or
maybe a snippet? Yeah.
Anyway, we had written this melody. Hold on, I wrote the piano, and we had this melody that was like, "I'll always love you, no matter what may be," and it was a little more of a traditional musical theater, and it worked. But for some reason, I forget. Like, we tried it so much, it just felt too stagey. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, let's do like almost like an ancient Chinese, this ancient Chinese melody, like a melody that seemed to have been around since the legend began,
right.
You know, one that could be orchestrated with traditional Chinese instruments. And then when we wrote that, we were like, yeah, that kind of feels right. You know, that kind of feels right. And then the Mandarin lyrics, which I think it was Glenn said that, right? Let's have Mandarin lyrics.
Yeah. I just want to, I do teach, I'm a colleague who teaches Mandarin, Shaolin. I was like, what is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? And she would send me things back. And so initially I was doing some rough Mandarin, but luckily we got some, you know, some people who work with Pei Lin and Pei Lin herself and who are Mandarin, native Mandarin speakers for that. I mean,
right.
My colleague is too, but, you know, we had to keep adapting that and figuring out how much, you know, as you always do, and Helen deals with this a lot also in songs that have multiple languages or at least two languages, like how much can you do in one language and then revert to the other language so that the mm-hmm. listener still understands
right.
what's happening.
And was yeah. was it a translation? Was the English a translation of the Chinese or?
I think ultimately what happened is we had the ideas in English and then we kept taking away lines in English and handing them over to a Mandarin speaker. And so then they, of course, because the language is so different, come back in this kind of other poetical style.
And it's very haunting. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
It is. And, you know, the other thing is that it was almost like we're writing it from the outside in and then all of a sudden we started writing it from the inside out. And that's
That's a great way to put it. Now I figured out what was wrong with the other one just now.
Thank you. I always knew that.
That's
sorry.
That's really great. No, that's very, that's really true. Because
it was from here out then, you know, it really came out.
We were attached to the old one because it was a really nice song and emotionally seemed to work, but it didn't feel like it was from that time period of Chang'an.
Yeah, I think we dug a little more specific with the second version. Like in the first version, it was more like, oh, it's a very universal love melody.
Yeah.
But we wanted to be a little more specific in terms of the culture and the time period. Yeah.
Very impactful. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, as we wrap up our time together, what advice or bit of wisdom would you share with our listeners, kids, as they explore the world of music? Why don't we start with Chris? You want to start?
I feel always trust that inner voice. Just follow it. Because even if that inner voice is telling you to write something like, I'm not sure though, shouldn't it be more commercial? Write, trust that inner voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Learn to trust that intuition and let that be your guide. And the more you listen to it, the clearer it gets. And so finally, you'll never do anything without it and it never will steer you wrong.
For me, I speak two languages. I speak Korean and English. And sometimes I feel like I'm not speaking two languages. I sometimes feel like I have like no language. I can't really come up with a word to express myself. And I think music is what, you know, what is a universal language in my, in my point of view. I feel like music is what everybody could hear and understand and share the feeling. And I think right now is a particularly lonely time for not only kids, but adults. I think we're all sort of, you know, in our homes. And I love that our movie and the songs that are sung by these characters are shared all around the world. Mm-hmm. And even though we all speak different languages, I think we share that feeling of going through grief and going through loneliness and, you know, going through change. And I just want to urge people to, you know, express yourself through music and share it, and know that we're all, there are a lot of people going through the same thing as you, and we have the internet, we have, you know, things to, you know, communicate with others with, and I think music is a great tool.
Yeah.
For that.
Awesome.
And Marjorie.
Well, that is absolutely, you cannot top that, Helen. Thank you so much. So I will just say, I will say for all young people, find your voice and just don't be afraid of it, whether it's in music, words, dance, movement, visual art. It's so easy to be afraid or worried about the things that you have to say. And just, you know, take courage, like our character.
Yeah.
And, you know, and find your voice and let it be okay, because it is.
Love that. Build your own rocket to the moon.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. I love it. That's great. Well, Christopher Curtis, Helen Park, and Marjorie Duffield, we want to thank you again so much for your great music in this film. It's such a great film, and Over the Moon, and for taking the time to chat with us on our podcast today, and we really wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Time to wrap it up, folks.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Music Podcast for Kids.
We hope you enjoyed the show, and most importantly, learned something cool today about music.
Remember to send in your jokes or even a topic in music you would like us to discuss by visiting our website, themusicpodcastforkids.com. If you are interested in awesome educational and fun songs for your kids to listen and sing along with, please visit brucefight.com. Music is available to download with iTunes, CD Baby, and Facebook, and most streaming platforms like Spotify and Amazon Radio. Links will be found in the show notes.
If you are interested in learning how to play the piano with a fun and engaging curriculum geared toward kids, please subscribe to Mr. Henry's YouTube channel called Mr. Henry's Music World. Links will be found in the show notes.
Please visit iTunes to leave a review of the podcast and also share the podcast with friends, relatives, aliens, whoever.
Again, we thank you so much for tuning in.